This is Who You Know, Dmitry Samarov speaking. After a break of a month or so, we're back with the continuation, actually recording number 5 of the story of RR1.
Yes, I don't even remember where we left off the last time, but like it. But
not that this is a strict line.
No, well, you read the diary now.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was cute. I mean, I didn't, you know, it's like.
No, I
get it. It's hard to get, like, just because of, like, you know, the bubble letters and
stuff. Well, also,
all the crushes, but that poem at the end was like. There's all these, like, nice, like, or, like, today was boring, and then there's this fucking poem at the end. You know? To like reveal what's actually going on.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's also, I forgot that the poem was at the end until you said it today.
No, I was just flipping back through it because I hadn't looked at it for a while because I'd read a bunch of it right after you gave it to me, which was like a month ago or more.
Yeah.
So then I opened it back up today and.
I have this one guy that I started following on Instagram that. I don't even remember how. It was like, I think he just requested that it's called Hulky Dad, which I thought was funny because he's like a heavy guy who started working out to be a good, like, parent representation to his children.
But he's bursting through his shirt,
right? He's unhealthy. Like, he's working on it. But, like, he started all of a sudden, anytime he does a live chat, I get a thing where he mentions me. I'm like, why are you mentioning? Then I can never see what it says.
Is he sending you like private whatever DMs?
No.
No?
No, it's on a live feed. He's mentioning, I don't know if he's trying to, he's mentioning people's names that.
But what does he say about it?
I don't know, because I can never find it once I click on it, because it's a live feed.
Hey guys, shout out to XYZ.
Yeah.
we're not using names here, except for Hulky Dad. Hulky Dad is getting totally out of it.
But I wonder if he's just doing like shout outs to people that are following him, trying to get people to log on and be like, ooh, what's
sure,
he
yeah.
talking about, you know?
That's probably something he found out. He saw like the influencers do or whatever.
Yeah. But like he's done it twice now and I'm like, why are you? I don't know you as a human.
Why did you start following? What was the attraction? Was it funny?
Well, like, yeah, I think I admired the fact that, like, yeah, it's funny. And the fact he was trying to be positive.
You like the idea of a fat guy trying to become fit?
Stop it. I mean, what do you even say to that?
Nothing. Hey, people are into all kinds of shit. I don't judge.
I should start one of those feet finder accounts. Mm. Everybody keeps talking about that.
Feet finder?
Yeah, apparently there's some, it's like fan, like OnlyFans.
Oh, like extreme feet. Foot fetish kind of? Oh, feet. Oh, so, well, like you can identify people by their feet? Feet finder?
No, it's to find this, whatever you're into with feet, I guess. Like from very blase to very.
Oh, up to as far as porno as you can get, yeah. Sure. What, you mean to like to make some extra money? You mean? Or? Well, I guess it's like being like a. It is more anonymous than the average. Whatever porno thing, because it's like being a hand model. You know, like nobody will.
Exactly.
If that matters to you, you know, but like everybody's got. That was a horrifying thing that my friend who I visited in Boston, his kid came down and told us that, I don't know what we were talking about, that like every, like he said something like every hot girl in his high school had an OnlyFans account. Because that's what kids do now. Like this is what you do. You just open your porn ka-ching, like whatever video.
Yeah.
Video peep booth thing.
Who do you prosecute in that situation? You know what I'm saying?
Well, people, I mean,
kid
they.
No, started they. It.
Yeah, but yeah, kids have gotten busted for child porn. For sending like dick pics to each or whatever to each other, you can get busted for child porn for that. Even if you're a child.
What a thing to be saddled with from this.
Yeah, life. And then you're stuck with that for the rest of your fucking life.
You have to register everywhere you go.
Because this technology is so available that, yeah. I mean, well, I don't think there's any way to stop it. I mean, kids are much more savvy than any grown-up, you know? They can get around any kind of privacy controls or whatever. You can get to porn within two clicks of anything, you know? Yeah. Looking for any kind of anything you're searching for, there's like a porn thing, you know.
Well, yeah, actually, there was just a thing on Google, I guess, where some regular pictures of children got tagged, flagged as if they were porn.
Oh, because they were naked children?
No, it was just accidental in general. But yeah. They all got flagged. No, but I guess I was asking, like, with reading that, like, I caught reading it. If I was a parent and I was reading some of those things, I would have questions.
Yeah. Like what kind of questions?
Well, I mean, I basically just come out and say, like, I told these kids at camp that I got raped. And I also say it in a very nonchalant way in the writing. I'm like, me reading it, I was like, how does it, why would a kid, like, just to be that calm as a child, be like, oh, well, these things happen.
I think, I mean, kids can normalize any kind of activity because that's what they live through, you know? How do you know that that's not normal if that's what you went through?
It's true. But
it's weird. One thing that occurred to me. So if your mom is digging through all your shit, why isn't she like talking about this? You know what she's read. That's who should be talking about it. Like, you know.
What do you mean talking about it?
Well, she's read these, and you know, she's been reading all this stuff.
Well, then she has to admit that she read it.
Yeah. Oh, she would never admit that she.
No, she's no. I mean. Now we can't, there's no conversation about it. It's just like, that's just what moms did, you know?
Yeah, right. That's a weird thing to me. Yeah, like, I know parents often do that, but like, what are they hoping will happen? What's the best outcome, you know? Then your kid doesn't trust you or hides you things even better or doesn't.
Or you get a sinking sensation in your chest because you find out they're actually doing a lot of stuff you didn't want them to be up to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got to confront them on it.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, if you go looking for something, you're going to find it.
Yeah.
More often than not, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who was it for school that... That journal was kept, or were you encouraged to? Yeah.
That no, that was
it was just for you.
I was just a kid.
Yeah.
Just a kid.
So it was like over. Was it like 91, 92 or something like that? It said.
Yeah.
Which would So you said you were like what, fifth grade or something?
Yeah, it was the end of my, the end of my sixth grade year, going into my. The end of sixth grade into seventh grade.
Mm.
So starting Brim after I wrote this. Yeah, I think I'd seen like the Lindsay Lohan movie where like somebody had a diary and
it was
like,
you thought that would be cool.
It's like what you're supposed to do when you're a teenage girl is write a diary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, this whole comedy show is based around adults reading teenage diaries.
Yes.
Did you ever try to do it again? That again after that one? Another diary?
Are there other diaries, or is that the last one?
I started writing poems. Yeah, there's other.
Because there's a few poems in there, not that many, but.
I wrote everything in poems because then
you could code it. It wasn't direct, like you weren't using names and stuff.
Yeah. I still to this day have a hard time writing down my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sleep around.
Oh, that's the thought, is that somebody will, yeah. Yeah, I guess I never think of, well, I came to writing late, and I've never thought of ever of writing anything private or personal.
What do you mean? You write private and personal stuff?
No, but it's written for others to read.
Right.
It's never intended to be private.
Gotcha.
I don't write anything. That's why the journal or diary thing is kind of fascinating to me, because I've never kept one and never thought of keeping one.
Well, I think also in the situation that I found myself, I didn't have any friends really, you know?
So it was a way to process stuff that you couldn't.
Yeah. Get it out, so to speak.
Yeah. Remind me, how was it that it came about that you told these kids this stuff?
One of the kids...
How did it come up?
His cousin had gone to jail for being wrongly accused of some type of sexual assault or something. And that's how it came about.
Yeah. There's a way, like, just make conversations or relate.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, you know, you're teenagers. Everything's super dramatic and, like... I think part of me, though, too, just wanted to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, at that point, that there was just, like...
Yeah, it's not, well, one way or the other, whatever it is, it's no good keeping it inside, you know?
No, well, I also just got, I think I, you know, got to an age where I realized things were, you know, stop.
Yeah. How did you realize, like, do you remember, like, what made you think suddenly this thing that had been going on for a while was suddenly wrong? Like, why was it wrong when, what made you think it was wrong suddenly? Or not suddenly?
Well, it wasn't suddenly, like, yeah, exactly. It wasn't suddenly. I think the thing was, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you're supposed to believe in Santa. You remember, did you have that growing up? Were you, because I know you growing up was much different than me growing up.
So well, I'm a fucking Jew, and, right, and from another country. We had Father Frost. You know about Father Frost, right?
Right,
right.
That's what I'm saying. I was like,
the de-religionizer, decapitalized. Capitalized Santa Claus in
but did you believe
Russia.
Him? Did you think he was real?
No, because I don't ever remember him as an entity. I mean, I remember the presence in the tree. We had, you know, I had a tree growing up.
Did you believe in the Tooth Fairy when you were a kid?
We didn't have the Tooth Fairy.
Okay.
We didn't. No, no.
So I think it's like, yeah.
Well, my parents, my dad was a mathematician, my mom was a doctor. Mm. You know, like.
No, I totally get it, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, for me, the closest thing I can relate it to is that feeling of realizing Santa Claus isn't real.
But there was some sort of change. Something snapped or changed. Like, there was, or like the curtain was pulled away, like, you know, like the Wizard of Oz or something. I mean, can you pinpoint what happened that changed your attitude towards this thing that was going on?
No. I think I was so at the end of my, by that time I was suicidal. I was like, suffering.
At that camp? Or
like that eight, well, I mean, I didn't know at the time that I had major depression. I've had it my whole life, so.
Like you were like suicidal, like planning ways that you were gonna do it, kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I was just over because between that was happening at home, my father. There was also all this tumultuous relationship between me and my mom.
Right.
And the physical abuse that went on with that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I go to school, same thing.
Yeah.
Getting verbally, physically abused by people.
You have to carry around a book of how to spell stuff.
Yeah. Spell it, specifically.
How to spell it.
Only it.
Yeah.
Just I.
Well, I think you got a handle on that for a time, at least.
Yeah, I think I just had it.
So, but it was probably like partly being away from them, being like so you could feel freer to talk about whatever was bothering you.
Definitely, because when I was a kid, we didn't do much. We didn't leave the house much. Like, we didn't go places. Like,
yeah. So you're isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And were they, these guys, were they what, had you just met them at the camp or did you know them before? No, they were new?
Yeah.
They were new people.
New people I just met. I didn't have friends at home.
Right.
I had never had problems making friends when I was anywhere outside of my hometown.
Yeah.
My hometown was so small, it was just like everybody had their own...
No, you're friendly. I mean, we met at a random place, you know, like just because we knew people in common, you know, like.
But I'm just saying, like, when you live in such a small community, you get your label, and everybody knows that label, and they just they run with that. So.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, that's who you are.
Right.
Like I had a friend that was. A bit of a troublemaker, and I'll leave their name out of it. But same thing, like, I was the weird kid. I was the trouble kid in town. So, like, his mom didn't like him hanging out with me, even though really I'd never been in any trouble.
So you'd drag him down even further, down the, whatever the prestige
I was
or
a bad influence.
The food chain, whoever the... Whatever
well, and they were they,
hierarchy. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
And they were obviously also gay, and they hadn't come out yet. And it's just kind of.
I just saw this movie. It's really good. It's a new Japanese movie. It's called Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of told kind of like, you know, that movie Rashomon, where the same story is told from three different points of view. Mm-hmm. It's sort of told like that, and it starts out being about. You think it's like the single mom, this kid comes home and he's got like bruises, and then you think that the teacher beat him up. And so she goes in there like all like, you know, guns blazing. She wants to figure out why this teacher's beating up her kid. And then it just gets much, much more complicated. You know, and he's not beating her up, but like each part like adds more and more to the story and you see the full picture. Like,
yeah.
And it's just about how people do act out to hide things, you know? And it's, it made me think of, because you're saying, like, your friend in your town didn't come out as gay. That's kind of what it ends up being. It's this one kid, like, not being able to deal with his feelings for another kid, you know, like, constructively.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was also lower down the totem pole. Like, it's sort of like a love story between these two outcast kids. Mm-hmm. But the main one, like, can't acknowledge publicly that he likes the other one because that would, like, sink him even further into outcast status. You know, like, if he admitted that he liked him and had feelings, you know, like, you'd be, like, you'd go to the leper colony, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's how it felt. Yeah. You'd asked me in the past about that. When I figured out I was queer, mm-hmm. that was that kind of feeling too. Like,
which was late
11
time. Yeah, so earlier.
I was around the same.
Around the same time, yeah. Mm-hmm. All this stuff.
And I thought I was.
Was it connected with this other friend of yours, enough that you found out, or no?
No. I think that's just a normal coming to age point.
Yeah, we talked about that a bit, about like you see the girl, like liking the girl, mm-hmm. yeah.
But that's that feeling. Like, I remember having that feeling. Like,
that if you admit to this, then you're going to be like a complete like alien.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be accepted ever. Yeah. Yes.
Did you see him working
her? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Dad's day with the kid. You don't get your hair combed.
Yeah, I think I had just gotten to the point where I was just fed up.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to, like, at that point in my life, I remember I wanted to drop out of high school, like, as soon as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm. And do what? What was the plan?
Become a hairdresser.
Hairdresser?
Uh-huh.
Why, where did that dream come? What did you, why,
it wasn't,
why hairdresser?
It was because I knew it was easy to go to school, a vocational school, and that it wasn't that expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I planned on dropping out of high school when I was 11. When I, like, as soon as I could.
Just to get away from, like the horrible people that, like, yeah, treated you badly.
It was, yeah, like, at 11, I was like, when I turn 16, I'm dropping out of high school.
That's the earliest you could do it and be allowed to do it. Yeah. I wish I would have gone to vocational school instead of high school. Like, to learn, like, carpentry or something.
You know? Right.
Something that would have actually served me in life. Is that, yeah, high school, just fucking miserable.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't have the same...
High school was better for me, yeah.
Yeah, you had better time probably in high school than I did. I did not have a good time. Well, you were like a star student, right?
I was.
Like, suddenly.
I was smart all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I was top of my class and, like, learning stuff.
Yeah.
Getting to be a nerd.
Yeah. So that was good. So that is... So, yeah, your plans to drop out of high school and become a hairdresser was before you got to high school, clearly. So you just thought at 11 that it would just keep getting worse and worse, and
it would have.
If you'd gone to regular high school.
If I had stayed there any longer, I don't think I would not have survived my hometown.
Yeah.
My mouth would have gotten me in trouble.
Yeah.
I would have, something bad would have happened.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting to me that like you're talking about your mouth. Like, you know, you're pretty plain spoken. That it took going away to that camp for you to let out some of that stuff. But I guess it was just distance.
Yeah, and I was...
They didn't... Because that's the way therapy works, too. Like, where people feel like they can confide in a stranger. Or, like, you feel safer that way. I've never understood that myself, but I know that's a thing.
Part of me, too, thought that something was going to happen, like, something would happen.
Oh, if you said it?
Yeah, like, something would...
Like, there's consequences?
Like something would happen. Instead,
like, what... Yeah.
What happened was, you know, my mom got really upset, and I thus then went to Brem.
Mm.
That's why, like, that whole part is super confusing to me. Like... Why would you send your child away? That's kind of the crux of what started all this for me, is looking back and knowing that I don't remember, but then, like, reading that and being like, oh yeah, I got, like, shipped off somewhere, right? The timing, all of it. It's like, you say you didn't know what was going on, but it very obviously, to me, it looks like you're trying to hide something.
But you'd mentioned also that for your mom, it was like a... Like the learning disabilities or whatever, learning challenges were a problem that she could fix or she could act on. And that's where this thing worked out from her point of view.
Yeah.
Sending you somewhere. So it's two birds with one stone kind of thing,
yeah,
right? And then she didn't have to deal with this other shit.
Yeah.
But you're at that point, like, there was no real repercussions like you were hoping, really, except for your mom, for your dad.
Oh, like, yeah. No,
there wasn't any.
There was lots of times in my life that things like that happened, but were total letdowns.
That you thought this would finally do something and nothing happened?
Yeah.
Well, also, yeah, I mean, generally, you know, like, adults are believed over children, mm-hmm. as a rule. The yeah. adults have the power in the relationship, you know, in a good case scenario for good reasons, but then there's other times like this.
Yeah.
Where you have to believe a child.
Well, when you know there's nowhere, like I said, there's one cop in town. There's nowhere to go. There's nobody.
Right.
To talk to. So what are you going to do? And like, that's the thing. It would be interesting. My own town, I'm sure there's lots of stories like mine that I'm not the only one. Maybe not sexual abuse, but like the physical, definitely.
No, I mean, unfortunately, none of this stuff it's not original to anybody. It's invented whenever people got around other people. Things, then there's somebody mistreating somebody else. It's like, starts right away, I think.
Well, that is part of it. It's like generational trauma. That's part of why I did like the...
Oh, the 23andMe or whatever.
Yeah, the DNA.
Like, yeah.
Like figuring out where my family came from. And like, you know, you start to look at the history backgrounds of your family and where they've originated from. Some places, like, were Danish. The Danes were notoriously a brutal tribe of people.
Long winters.
Yeah, right? Disposition.
Well, you know, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
But yeah, I mean, the more I looked into it, like, you think about it, though, like, how far, like, it would do the same thing in your family, I'm sure. Yeah. Like, if you start to look at it, like, where did you come from? And where, anybody, if you look at it long enough.
Well, but you know, my family ancestrally came from the Pale of Settlement, you know, where the Russian Tsars, like, made this, like, ghetto area where Jews were allowed to live. That's what it was called, the Pale. Like, you know, you see, like, Fiddler on the Roof? Mm-hmm. That, like, those, of course. Well, yeah, you're, like, you're a musicals kid. Of course you would. I don't love that movie, but, like...
I'm sure you don't.
It kind of drives me crazy, but, like...
I'm sure you don't.
But, yeah, that's the Pale of Settlement. So it's in... Like, it's Belarus and Ukraine, like, all those places. Like, there's an area that was designated where Jews could live. You know?
Yeah.
It was established. I think it was by Catherine the Great. I think that's who put it in. It goes way back, you know?
You've only been there for a little bit.
What?
Just a little bit of time.
Yeah, yeah. And then scattered other places. Yeah. I mean, all those borders have always moved, you know? Poland, Ukraine, Russia, like all these, and then like all these Asian parts of that whole, like, it's just a blob, you know?
Yeah.
Depending on who was in charge and what empire was dominant, you know?
Yeah.
So it moved around a lot, but yeah, it's a lot of garbage.
But I'm just meaning, like, I felt like in my family specifically, things were justified by, well, that is the way it's always been type attitude.
But what insight did you get from the genealogy? Like, what did that reveal something to you that you didn't know before? Or?
No, I mean, I just started, like, specifically looking at the history of cultures in which my family came from.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, you know what I'm saying, like, some cultures are far more patriarchal than other cultures. Some mm-hmm. cultures have...
Sure.
Especially the more I got into, like, because it just, there's a blanketed white space in Europe where they're like, you're from here.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many tribes and they were so nomadic that,
sure,
you know, like, Norway and Finland and, like,
yeah,
Denmark.
Yeah.
All of that. With
like little warlords, and they'd build, like, a little wall around their castle, and then they would defend it, and that was their city-state or feudal kingdom.
Right.
Little places that grew. So, like, there are
some people who are violent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some families that aren't. Yeah. Why in the, my thinking was just kind of like, why was this an acceptable? Because the abuse didn't just start with me.
Yeah. Right.
That was the part that was interesting to me, especially like Danish culture when I started studying that, and just like how women are viewed and like.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I don't know. It seems odd to think about how the past impacted your family when it's so far away and we don't think anybody knows anything about it, but except things like that, acceptable behavior.
Right. I mean, so that gives you a frame of reference, like, for some of the things that happened? Would you say, like, the ancestral stuff?
It makes it easier to understand why.
That's what I'm trying... I guess that's what I'm asking, like, what it gives you, like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess all I'm ever looking for is not... Because nothing can ever make it right, but, like, what I'm searching for is the answer and how did we get here. I guess I need to make myself feel like my dad is still a human person. You know?
And he needs to be a human person because, like, you share DNA with him? Or what? Why?
I just need to understand, like, why... It's like, what makes a serial killer a serial killer? What in your brain... People don't do things that they know are innately wrong and live with themselves. You know?
Well, there's that saying about how, like, every villain is the hero of the, like, in their mind, they're a hero. Mm-hmm. They're the hero.
They all have the same origin story.
Yeah. They're the hero and they were wronged and they have to take revenge or whatever, or fight back against...
Or justification for what happened to them. You see what I'm saying? Like...
Yeah.
I'm so mad about that. That's the thing about, especially incest in families, is like, it's been going on for a while. It's not new. Like, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. This is a super complicated, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. So, like, we're not going to solve this, but like, all you do is just ask the questions, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would tend to think that at least part of it was just opportunity, like availability. You were there.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
You know?
But no, I think it had nothing to do with me. Yeah, really, honestly. I think
you were nearest at hand. You were available.
Exactly.
Which is horrible, but like you were there.
Exactly. I mean, but anytime you talk about like any kind of like sexual deviance and stuff, it doesn't have to do with the person that it happened to. It has to do with
power
or whatever.
And you talk about objectification, you know, which
doesn't
have to be a bad thing, but it often is, you know, like.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at, was that like when something's hereditary like that, I feel like sometimes there are certain people, like you said, the villain who thinks they're the hero. It's like, well, this happened to me. I'm angry about it, so I need to go and just repeat said action.
Yeah.
Put this burden on somebody else, which I know sounds really fucked up, but there are people who think that way.
No, I know. But like, are you saying you think it was done to him? Personally?
I know something.
Yeah. Yeah.
He told us this much.
He did?
Yeah. When I was a little girl, there was a situation that came up with me and my sister. And that was kind of what led to the catalyst of me telling somebody about what was going on. Because when I was, my sister was about 4 years old, she started touching me inappropriately. And I knew immediately that something was happening to her. Because how else?
She was just repeating something that she had seen or been
how
done.
How else does a 4-year old do the things that she was doing, you know, or attempting to do to me? And she'd be like, I remember first time she did, she tried it, and then it was just like, well, I'm going to make you feel good. And I was like, nope, this is weird. This
yeah, no wrong. Child is, says a phrase like that, I'm going to make you feel good. That's an that's an adult phrase. I'm going to make you feel good is something, yeah.
So I think, I guess now...
that's horrible.
All of it. Yeah, well, yeah. And then I went to my mom about that and said that Renee was trying to do something inappropriate.
Yeah.
And my mom called me a liar, and she was going to take lie detector tests and all this other crazy shit. So then my dad, I remember sitting this down, and he'd be like, well, these things happen with kids. It's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lord knows I had stuff happen to me when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
That was what he said.
So that's what, yeah.
And I think for me, yeah, it was kind of like realizing, okay, this is happening to somebody else now.
Mm-hmm.
Not just me.
So that was, in some way, at least, sort of good. Not good, but it was valuable because you knew this wasn't, like, just you. This was just...
Yeah.
This is what happened.
I guess
to other people.
It was alarming. It, you know what? It I don't... The reaction to it was... I was terrified for my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Which now being older is interesting, like looking back. I never had those same fears for myself or thought like somebody should rescue me.
But yeah.
Yeah, I remember being really angry about it too.
Mm. Well, because you were trying to protect her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, clearly with your dad and what he was doing, his mentality was different where he had this opportunity to do what he liked with somebody that was vulnerable and not able to defend themselves. He wasn't trying to protect you or your sister. He was taking advantage of what was available to meet whatever needs he had at that moment.
Yeah. That's a whole thing I can't even wrap my head around.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole other kind of fucked up thing, like what you would get out of that sexually, like with a child? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not any fantasy I've ever had, I'll tell you that. Either.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is like when you get into studying various versions of this, like pedophilia,
mm-hmm.
some people feel they're born this way, some people don't. Like, what is it?
Like that they're just born with this thing that they're like, it's like a kink that you're attracted to children.
Hmm. There are some, I should get more information about it before I talk about it. But I remember reading a story about, I think it was either a musician or an artist, and his brother had self-isolated himself because he knew
that he was
attracted to kids. Yeah. He's never committed a crime, never did anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But he made himself move out to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because he knew he was attracted to kids. Like, that sounds torturous in and of itself to me. Like,
sure. Well, I mean, you know, traditionally say, you know, in the Catholic Church, you know, like they would send these boys into the priesthood that they knew were gay, say, or had other, what they considered deviant sexual
aberrations.
Yeah. So what they would do is isolate them in a group with the same, with the thing that they were attracted to. Like, great idea, great strategy there, you know?
Oh, yeah, like the
and to abuse children, and, you know, like, all of it. But it was a way to manage them, people with other desires, yeah.
Other desires.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, like, where is the difference? Like,
it's not that two separate, not separate things, but different things. The incest thing and the pedophilia, you know, it's not exactly the same. It's not necessarily the same thing.
No, it's not.
Like, being attracted to children is not exactly the same as having inappropriate sexual contact with your own
child.
Yes.
That those are. I'm not going to grade of like
what. No, of course.
Grades of deviancy or whatever, but know, like they're like, different things.
I'm just saying, like, yeah. In my mind, that's where my mind, with all this stuff, like one, trying.
Well, you're trying to understand.
Trying to understand it, yeah.
Make him a human being, yeah.
Like.
Well, he's definitely a human being, unfortunately. Well, you know, yeah.
No longer.
No, yeah.
But yeah, just in general, what drives people to do things of that nature just is always interesting. Not just deviancy in general.
Yeah, sure.
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Mm, sure.
Did not like that book. Did not like that movie. But there's a quote from it where Ripley's character is talking about all the crazy things that people pull in life, but you can't live with yourself if you think you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Like, you have to rationalize it.
Ripley was definitely the hero of the story always. I mean, there's a series of books. There's like five or six books. True. I love those books. I love Patricia Highsmith, but like...
Oh, it's... I didn't dislike them. It was the creep factor.
Well, no, it's really unsettling, and she had a very, very dark view of humanity. Like, she was not a people lover, exactly.
No,
version is Carol, that movie Carol. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a Todd Haynes movie. It's based on a story or a book of hers called The Price of Salt. It's about a lesbian love story, and it more mirrors her own actual life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was like a very tormented lesbian, you know, like that's, and she sort of exacted revenge on people like through these characters, you know, through her own. Yeah. She had an outlet, you know, she was a very talented writer, but she was apparently a very tormented person. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.